Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Beth Bielo, and you're listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. It doesn't seem to matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert. Networking and putting yourself out there on behalf of your business takes its toll after a while. I find I can either get an infusion of energy from the connections I've made, or I'm exhausted from the effort of it all. And sometimes it's an odd combination of both feelings. My guest today is here to help us get some new perspectives and approaches to networking with ease. Val Nelson is a career and business coach based in Northampton, Massachusetts, with clients all over the United States. She helps people make their mark on the world by helping them rise above any blocks about key strategies like networking and communications. As an introvert who has learned to love networking and running her own successful business, Val especially enjoys helping introverted business owners and others to mobilize their unique superpowers. She offers support to introverts via workshops, coaching, and her blog at valnelson.com. Val, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you. So the listeners can get to know you a little bit better and hear some backstory. Can you share with us how you came to create a specialty in coaching introverts?
You know, I was looking, people always tell you you need to have a niche, and I was feeling scattered and trying to be all over the place, so I really wanted to focus in. And I looked at the people I was working with, and literally, like, looked at a list of people and began to imagine, like, what are the ones that I feel like I can really help and most resonate with? What do they have in common? Mm-hmm. And as I looked at it, it just kept rising to the top that it was the introvert entrepreneurs who had some sort of service profession. Actually, fellow coaches was one.
Mm-hmm.
People who were providing some sort of education or healthcare or something like that.
Yeah, and you are an introvert yourself, correct?
Yeah, so that was the other thing. I think that was part of why I resonated with them. My own story is so encouraging for people, because people are often surprised when I say I'm an introvert, because I'm so social. I love networking events. I think the whole thing is fun. I actually have to stop myself sometimes and get down to work.
Wow. That's not a problem I'd say I have, but...
But it came through years of I'm really active in dancing going to dances and getting out to dance or asking people to dance or being on stage sometimes or whatever. It just, you know, through years of doing that, it got me used to it and enjoying it.
That's interesting that your ease and enjoyment of networking actually didn't come from necessarily going to lots of networking events. It sounds like you did a lot of other activities.
Well, it was both. I think it was, you know, I should actually give you a little background, because I was that kid in school that was painfully shy. I did not want to talk. I spoke so quietly. When I did have to talk, people didn't even know what I was saying. And one time I asked the teacher if she would just give me an F instead of making me stand up in front of the room to do an oral report. And
wow.
I was an A student, so that was a big deal for me. So that's where I came from. And then, mind you, I don't equate shyness with introversion, but I had taken it to that extreme as a kid. But part of me really wanted to be a teacher. Like, I wanted it so bad. And so after college, you know, I'd become a little more social during college. And then I wanted to be a teacher. And I made myself go get a job where it would put me on stage so I could see if I could handle it before I went and got a teaching certificate. So... you know, it was hard, but because I was so passionate about it, I pushed myself a little and started off small, practicing small ways. And then once I was actually teaching a class, I loved it. You know, I was drained a little bit. I realized later that's because I'm an introvert, but I was also energized in a way at the time because it went so well and I got such good feedback. So I think it's possible to be good at those things, but you have to watch your energy. But what happened was by the doing it, it got easier. And then so by doing that, by doing the dancing in the dancing world and getting used to that, and then networking, even networking was not easy for me at first. And it was, again, I just kept applying the, you know, go ahead and stretch my comfort zone as a way to get more comfortable. And that's what I tell people. They have to at least try in small ways, and that can eventually grow.
It sounds like you really have practiced what you preach then.
So years ago when I wanted to be a coach, I dismissed it because I thought, I don't really want to work for myself. It seems so scary to have to promote yourself and everything, and it stopped me. And I went and did other things for a while, and it kept coming up. Like, yes, I want to do this, and I do want to work for myself. I'm going to have to deal with this. So I did, because I wanted it bad enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you used that word passion before, and passion can really carry us over a lot of fears and blocks that we have.
Yeah, it can definitely help. And that's one of the things I help people with in the career and business coaching work, is getting so clear on their passion that that drives them forward. It's not about pushing them, it's about coming from that place, and it draws them forward.
So when I went to your website, there's a very dominant black swan that's present on your page. It's beautiful. And I know there's a story behind that. What's significant about the black swan for you, and how does it weave into your work with people?
Thank you for asking. I love my black swan. And I get a lot of positive feedback about it, too. They're like, ooh, that's striking. Tell me about that. And that thing about the black swan, it's very striking. There's something about the unexpectedness of a swan being black that makes you stop and look. And that's what happened to me, and how I chose the black swan, because I, was at some park where they had exotic birds or whatever. And there were these two black swans on the pond, and I was like, oh my God, I couldn't take my eyes off them, because I had never seen it. I hadn't even known about them, I guess. And so later, my sister wanted to help me with my business card, and I said, oh, I like black swans. Throw that on there. It was just kind of random, but it became my logo. And when I saw it, I thought, yes, this is so what I want to convey with my business. It's about, and to me, what they symbolize is the impact of something that's so unique, and which to me connects with my main message, which is the more you are uniquely you and really clear on what your passions are and what you have, what the gifts are that you bring to the world, the more you bring the real you, the more impact you will have, because you're so clear and people will be drawn to that clarity and that passion. And if you're trying to be something you're not, like in the Ugly Duckling story where there's the swan who thinks he's a duck and trying to fit in, he's not, it doesn't work. You just feel uncomfortable. You feel like you're putting on a mask. And eventually the swan in the story figures out, oh, I'm a swan. And then he realized he was beautiful instead of ugly. So I love that combination of pieces of the swan.
It seems like it's very apropos for introverts.
Yes, that too. There's something about the swan posture that I feel like reminds me of introversion. And introverts, I think so many introverts feel invisible or unseen, or people don't understand them or something. And yet, look at the swan and how impactful it is, despite how quiet and inward-looking it is, or the swan is, it still has this huge impact. So I think it's a nice juxtaposition to that idea that we have. We're not noticeable.
And that we, that there's a piece about standing out, too, or being different. And when you were talking about that mask, that we are able to be who we are without any masks, and to be beautiful as we are.
Yes. I feel like that's such a theme in the people I work with. They can be, a lot of introverts are afraid of exposure or being too visible. Mm-hmm. And they feel like they have to put on a mask, or, it's just one of the common struggles. And I had it. I was having nightmares when I first started putting out my website and everything, and just I felt very exposed. It just felt like too much. And finally I got used to it through the doing of it and getting all the positive energy from that. But it's a weird process for people.
Yeah. Well, you brought up a few times of getting energy and feedback from people as being something that is affirming, and that might be something that's less comfortable or less intuitive for the introvert, and it doesn't mean that it's any less important to us in terms of really reflecting back what we might not be able to see ourselves.
Yeah, I think introverts, on the one hand, can tend to fear exposure, but we're also incredibly, and I hear this theme a lot, we're incredibly frustrated that we don't get heard and seen. Because part of the way our brains work is that how an introvert's brain works is we're slower to get the words out of our mouth because we tend to think before speaking. And supposedly this is like literally in our brains, you can see it.
Yeah.
I've seen it described in the book, The Introvert Advantage. And so we don't actually get our words in as often in a meeting where there's extroverts and introverts, because extroverts are just speaking so fast that it's hard for introverts to get a word in. But I have found that if I have a room full of introverts, like one of them groups, there's plenty of room for everyone to talk.
Yes. Isn't that funny? Yeah, I've seen jokes about, you know, gatherings of introverts being very quiet, and quite the contrary, so not true.
Really not true. I've had people say, I can't believe you have groups of introverts.
Yeah.
He's sitting there. And I'm like, no, obviously you're an extrovert, because you don't know. We got a lot to say.
We've got a lot to say. Yeah, absolutely. So along those lines, you know, you've witnessed a lot of these gatherings because you coach and conduct workshops for introverts that help them have more ease and effectiveness in those group situations and in networking. What are the most common challenges you see people having?
Well, first of all, when it comes to if I say the word networking, they're like, ugh, I hate it.
Lots of baggage.
Yeah. When I first did this, I did a focus group for introverts when I was first deciding to choose this focus. And so I had this small group discussion, and so I kind of asked them about various things, like what's it like in meetings, you know, basically trying to get, like, what's the most painful part? And networking was like a 10 for everybody, like, I hate it. And so because of that association with it, they tend to avoid it, so that's one problem. So instead of doing what they need to do, which is gradually move towards it to actually make it more comfortable, they tend to avoid it, and it becomes more uncomfortable the more you avoid something. So that's something I find. And then if they do make themselves go, they are just bringing that negative energy.
Sure.
Like, I hate being here, or I heard a lot of people use this phrase, I put on my extrovert mask. I feel so sad when I hear that. They think they're supposed to go be someone else in order to be there. And so what I often help people do is learn what you do have to bring so that you can go there in an authentic way, because that's the only way it's going to work, is if you can bring yourself, the real you, and even be quiet if that's what you need to do. And
yeah, our listening powers are very come in handy. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing that people often say to me about networking is, but I feel fake, or I'm supposed to be salesy. They think there's supposed to be something else than what feels right to them. You know, the same thing with that extrovert mask.
And so you know, your affinity with the black swan has transferred from the imagery of it also to a formula. And what about that? What is that that helps people to work through those challenges that you've just named?
Yeah, a lot of what I'm saying kind of boils down to this, what I call my black swan formula for helping people with these challenges. And this is true for anyone, not just introverts. And I do work with extroverts too. So I've come up with this formula that is more you equals more ease equals more impact. So in other words, the more you can bring the real you, your authentic self, the more you can get clear on what that is and then bring that, the easier everything's going to be for you. The easier your work will be, the easier your networking will be. And you'll have more impact. A lot of people think that they have to be something else, but the more you do that, the more impact you'll have, just like the black swan. The more it's so unique, the more you notice it.
It reminds me of a realization I had about a year ago, which was this idea of putting on that extrovert mask and showing up big, you know, quote unquote big, in going to something. And what I was equating that to was the way extroverts show up. So that was my benchmark. And it took a little bit of time, but I finally realized that my big, it's relative, and my quote unquote big is perhaps different. And so using my own energy, which is a quieter energy, can make a huge impression if I really step into it. And it does make things easier because I'm not trying to be something that I'm not.
Yes. I'm so glad. I love that description.
So, you know, you and I have had we had a great phone conversation, and we found that we shared a phrase that we'd used with other people, and that's talking about our introvert superpowers. Mm-hmm. And what superpowers do introverts have that they can tap into to help them with showing up with, you know, as more you and more ease and more impact?
You know, I think introverts will recognize these easily. One is we have a tendency to think first before we speak, and what that often means is we also listen first before we speak. So, I mean, everyone loves to be heard.
Yes.
Stop and listen at a networking event or anywhere where you're talking with someone. People love being heard, so that is a great thing to bring with you. When you are listening, then you can actually respond from an authentic place of, oh, I have that same interest, or, oh, this is actually how my business can help you with that need that you're expressing.
Mm-hmm.
When you really stop to listen, that's a very powerful part of networking. And another thing that I hear a lot of introverts say, oh, God, I hate small talk. That's why I hate it. But what that means is pointing to a value of meaningful conversations. They really like depth, and they want to have a conversation that has meaning. That's why they're so frustrated when it's seemingly meaningless. So that's great. I mean, how memorable is that at a networking event? If someone can actually take you to a deep conversation, you're the one they're going to remember. They're not going to remember the guy they talked to about the weather.
Right.
They talked to about, you know, their passions and what's important to them and how you can really help. And I've also noticed that, something people are surprised about, but some very famous people are introverts. Like Obama is supposedly an introvert, and Diane Sawyer, who's a newscaster. Some actors and actresses identify as introverts. And I think there's something about being an introvert that may make Obama and Lincoln and all these people actually better at public speaking. Introverts tend to be... they spend more time preparing. They really tend to have more consciousness about whether it's relevant to their audience. Really think about their audience as opposed to just speaking off the cuff and flirting. So there's a thoughtfulness about it that really can be more persuasive in a way. So those are some of the things I think are advantages that once I help people think about how to apply those to their networking or to their communications and how those are actually valuable. What people often think is needed in networking or sales is this pushy, salesy thing, but when you think about it, do you respond to that? I don't respond to that.
No, I don't. I shy away from it. That might be one of the reasons I avoid it altogether. I don't want to be sold to.
I know, and most people don't. It's very, you know, that's working less and less. We're in a really different culture today. You know, that was like 60s, 70s, 80s with that push marketing. And now it's much more of an attraction, not promotion kind of a thing.
Yes.
So it's a softer approach because social media is a big part of that because people have the power now. They, you know, you have to be more conscientious.
Yeah.
Pushiness just doesn't work.
Yeah, and what you're saying reminds me about it's not when I go to a networking event or a business event, it's not about me. It's not about my elevator speech. The most it might be about me is what do I have to offer. Otherwise, coming from a place of curiosity and finding out more about the other person, it sounds like is really a powerful way to make a connection and make that impact that we're seeking.
Yes, it makes a bigger difference. It's more subtle, it's softer, sometimes it's a longer sales cycle than
mm-hmm.
the old style, but that old style just doesn't work anymore. So today, even though our culture is very extrovert dominant, like there's still sort of a dominant we value it a lot in this culture.
Yes.
That outward, outspoken kind of thing. But really, I think that introverts are going to be going to rise above that. The world has changed, and that's actually becoming more valuable. And the more people think about it, I think they're looking to introverts like, how did you do that? Hey, you've got something that I don't.
Superpowers.
Superpowers. And I don't mean it as better. I didn't mean to say rise above something.
It's
more like we're rising above the not being, like, there won't be a group that's dominant.
Well, and when you say that, I think about, you know, rising above the stereotypes,
mm-hmm.
Or the box that we've been put in, and sometimes we put ourselves there.
Yeah.
And so that's what I really admire about the work that you're doing, and that I appreciate about my work and some of the other folks that I know that are focusing on introverts, is that it's not about changing us. It's not about better or, you know, good or bad. It's acknowledging and accepting differences. And finding out how can those differences work together for the benefit of everybody. So I appreciate that distinction. And I've heard varying ratios of introvert to extrovert, anywhere from, you know, 25% is introvert to 50% is introvert. I think I almost think it doesn't matter what the percentage is. We are still in a predominantly extroverted society.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes people say, why do you say superpower? That sounds too big. That scares people sometimes. But, you know, I think that I do like to push that a little bit, because they are superpowers. And it's, you know, I believe that we each have very unique gifts that we're supposed to bring, that we're here to bring to the world, and that it's so unique that they really are worth being called superpowers. Because once you can tap into that magic that you bring, it's like, whoa, it really commands attention, and other people are amazed by it. And we so often discount our own gifts because it just seems so simple. And I want to highlight it and say, no, this is so important. It is big. It's okay to be big. It's okay to stand out.
It's okay to be that black swan.
Yeah, right. It's okay to, like, be really noticed, and I help people get, that's a lot of what I spend time on, is help people getting used to it and, you know, find the ways that can bring them to that place of standing strong in what they have to give, so that they can then speak passionately about what they do and really believe in themselves, and that's how they get more business or
Absolutely.
Job offers or whatever it is they're looking for.
And that's, as you said in the beginning, this is all information that's relevant to introverts and extroverts, because just like we have stereotypes about introverts, we might have them about extroverts, that all of this comes easily to them.
I know. I think a lot of the sort of conflicts between introverts and extroverts come from, we both have these stereotypes about each other. Like we were saying before, extroverts have the stereotype that introverts don't have anything to say, but we do. And introverts have the stereotype about extroverts that they have too much to say. It's all valuable. Like, tell them to shut up.
Yeah.
They're excited.
Yeah, they're excited, and they process out loud. So
yeah.
instead of all of that processing happening in their heads, it's happening out in the world, and that feels different. Yeah, and it might feel overwhelming. And if we start to respect, oh, they're processing, they're not just enjoying the sound of their own voice, we might have a better relationship.
Yes. I think there's such a power in both introverts and extroverts learning about these things so that they can understand them as temperaments and not things to judge. Once we learn about something, it's so much easier to get along. A lot of what, when I help leaders or teams with something, it's things like, you know, helping people just understand differences and why the whole Myers-Briggs type indicator, which is one of the ways to test for introvert versus extrovert and other traits, why that's often used in the workplace, so that people can begin to understand their strengths and understand each other's strengths and not stereotype each other.
It sounds like a big part of what you're doing is raising awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that brings a powerful piece of information to people.
Yeah. I mean, when I I, for so many years, was sort of saw it in a negative light, saw my quietness or shyness or whatever I called it at the time as a negative thing and felt bad about it. And then the taking the Myers-Briggs test and learning what introversion really was and that I was an introvert was so empowering for me. And so I continued to be fascinated by reading things about it. And so that awareness was definitely a turning point for me. I love sharing it.
Yes. Yeah, I shared that experience with you. It's a very liberating thing to find out the real definition. And that it's, again, not good or bad, just different.
Yeah, and, you know, being an introvert definitely puts us at risk for certain things, too. So being aware of it and being able to address those is important. For instance, we're more at risk of shying away from things and getting more and more afraid of social events or networking events. When we know that we're at risk of that, we can be more proactive. And addressing it. Another thing that introverts I find are at risk of are analysis paralysis.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we get so caught thinking that we're afraid to let out our thoughts because we're like, oh, it's not perfect enough or haven't thought it through enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one that I help people with. It's like, whoa, let's slow down here and make a decision. Still go to that event and be messy with the words that come out of our mouths. That's a lot of what I help people with, is embracing messiness of the words.
So I have a couple of questions that I always ask my guests here at the end. And one of them is, if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island, all expenses paid, and you only had room for 3 books in your suitcase, what 3 would you take and why?
Oh my God, I'm kind of having analysis paralysis.
I know. It's a pretty weighty decision, you know. It's 3 books.
Right. Well, can I ask you this? Are there other people there, or am I going to be super lonely?
Oh, good question. You can, since all expenses are paid, you could probably, you know, afford to fly in a couple of people every once in a while to visit. Yeah. So it's not just you and your books.
Okay, it does sound fun. There's lots of introverts there.
Yeah. Yeah, introverts only. No.
So, okay, that sounds fun. Now that there's other people, because I think even though I'm an introvert, I still obviously love to be around other people. All right, well, I love writing in a journal, and that would be really important to me. So does that count as a book?
Absolutely.
Okay, so one has to be a big journal, because I need at least I need a lot for a year.
Mm-hmm. Thickest one you can find.
Then I'd have to have one book that was very funny. I'd need some entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what that is. Would it be something that I have already read, so I'm sure it's good?
True. You don't want to be stuck with one that's like, okay, this isn't funny.
I know. I'm kind of picky, so I've started books that I'm like, ugh, what a waste. There is a... And I also would want something kind of romantic, too, to keep me busy in that part of my brain. One of my favorite all-time books, and I've read it a couple times, is Room with a View. Mm. And that one's both funny and romantic, so I think that might be on the list. Although it's too short. I might need a long book.
Well, you can, you know, fill in new scenarios in the journal and...
And then maybe I would need a Pema Chodron book with tips on meditation, and because I'd probably be, you know, might need some more to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I better get good at meditation.
Mm-hmm. That would be an ample opportunity to have that quiet for that.
Yeah.
So Val, how can people learn more about you and your services?
Well, site and my blog is at valnelson.com. So I do love to write, so there's plenty there to learn about me and learn about being an introvert and networking and all kinds of things.
And do you have a presence on Facebook that people can like?
Yes. Ooh, thanks for asking. Yes, facebook.com/coachvalnelson. And I'm also on Twitter at valnelson. find Val Nelson everywhere.
Yes. That makes it easy to remember. And just so everybody knows, it's V-A-L-L. Whoops, I'm sorry.
V-A-L.
Yes.
N-E-L-S-O-N.
Thank you. I got a little tongue tied there.
And I'm also on LinkedIn at Val Nelson.
So thanks so much, Val. It's been a great fun talking with you. This is Beth Below, the Introvert Entrepreneur. Thanks to Val Nelson for joining us today, and thank you for spending this time with us. Join me each week for insights, information, and inspiration for introverts who know that success is an inside job. If you'd like to learn more, please visit theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You can also find a growing community of introvert entrepreneurs on Facebook at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.